This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:45, and this morning's Israel report brought to you by Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch. He's from the Jerusalem Center for Security, Foreign Affairs, former director of military prosecutions for Judea and Samaria. Very, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Hope you are well.
Good morning, Howard, from beautiful Israel. Sunshine. All good. Summer's here.
It is, you are very fortunate. Not that it's that cold here, even though we do sometimes have cold winters. Today is really, really quite beautiful. Let's talk about what is happening, because it's over the week we've seen almost an incremental increase in pressure that the United States has been placing on Iran. And I just keep wondering if and when we will reach a tipping point that it maybe explodes into something much greater, or that Iran eventually understands that they need to do something meaningful. Give us your update and your thoughts.
Also, I think that is exactly the balance that both sides are trying to strike. I think the U.S. President Trump is not as impetuous as people are presenting to be. I think he has a very long-term strategic plan, and he's operating based on that plan. He is not conducting wide-scale attacks. He's conducting very, very surgical attacks on strategic Iranian assets in, I believe, what is an effort to drive them back to the negotiating table, but in good faith. He gave them the chance to come and negotiate. They didn't come in good faith. They came and to waste time. And so he's showing them that tactic won't work. The Iranians are similarly responding with very, very cautious strikes on targets that they believe will not cause necessarily a wider escalation. Most notably, they haven't attacked Israel, for example.
That's fascinating.
In the understanding, I think that they have the clear understanding that if they attack Israel, they will be bringing in another major regional force. And they're not interested in that escalation either. And so at the moment, both sides are doing exactly. There was a 19th century military theologian by the name of Clausewitz, who says that war is just a continuation of politics or diplomacy using violent means. And that's really what we're seeing now from both sides. The U.S. trying to bring Iran to the position where they do give up on their nuclear aspirations and their ballistic missiles and their use of the proxies around the world to really sow death and terror. And Iran, on the other hand, trying to push America into a situation where it gives up on that goal by attacking regional partners and countries that America is seen to be as part of their protectorate. And they're being attacked in order to show we are still here, we are still fighting back. And I think this is something that we're going to see going on for quite a while. I don't think the Iranians are interested in another full-scale war. They've already suffered enough damage. And now with the blockade reimposed, they're going to suffer more damage. And in the same, I think President Trump isn't interested in an all-out war before the before the U.S. midterm elections on the 3rd of November, something that would potentially push up gas prices and oil prices. And that really is the central theme of American politics. How is the U.S. economy faring, and what is it costing the average American to fill up his gas tank? So I think that's the different picture that we're seeing from both sides.
What fascinates me is, I said jokingly earlier this week, if the United States or anybody had to launch an attack on South Africa's military, God forbid, the whole thing could last probably 15 minutes and it would all be over. I'm fascinated that this goes on day after, never mind the prior war. This is going on day after day, hour after hour. And yet there still seems to be almost an unlimited amount of targets. How extensive was the Iranian military infrastructure, and what do we know about what is left?
So the infrastructure that they'd managed to build up was very, very extensive. It was spread out around the country on literally scores, hundreds, thousands of different sites. Between the ballistic missile capabilities, the UAVs, and all of their other military assets. And each one of them has been taken out to a greater extent throughout the war. It's the assets that they really did develop underground and heavily underground, which are causing, I think, most of the problems for the US and for everyone else, because those are targets which are very, very difficult to destroy. And right. So we're talking about the missile silos and things of that nature, which really do have a substantial amount of cover and protection, and therefore they can survive for a much longer period of time. And they have also continued on with to their greatest capacity at the moment, whatever that may be, with their production of these assets. Both the UAVs and the ballistic missiles. So that's something which has been on a constant production line. So
right.
And so that's something which is I think going to be a constant.
Right. And the fact that Israel obviously is sitting and by very, very well, I won't say too quietly. Well, it is quietly, because whatever's happening probably is happening quietly. But Israel obviously not getting involved. Iran very, very clear that they don't want to. I mean, in fact, even when the Houthis fired some missiles, they fired them at Saudi Arabia and not at Israel. So that seems also to be a very, very cautious approach to Israel and not getting Israel involved.
Yeah, very much so. I think that they're shooting at the Gulf countries who have shown their reluctance to really fight back in any way, shape, or form, and avoiding any attack on Israel, which is I think very indicative of their fear of their the deterrence that Israel has created and did create during the war. So that's something which I think it has been a very, very substantial benefit of the war, and now we're seeing that being played out.
Do we know anything? I know it's been mentioned that the U.S. hit the Iranian airports, bridges, logistics hubs. Do we know anything? Do we know details around this, or is that just a general description that we are aware of?
So it's both. I think we have very specific strategic sites that have been attacked. If you're looking at the Abu Musa, the island just off the coast of Iran on the Straits of Hormuz, there that even Bahrain and there is their own territorial struggles there, and we've seen strategic sites being attacked in the country, and really President Trump did lay it out. He said we're going to attack airports, we're going to attack infrastructure, we're going to attack everything that supports the military effort moving and going down towards energy centers and energy targets. So that's what we're seeing. I think it's difficult to say that there's one specific target of such strategic importance that its elimination would tip the balance. I think it's a combination of everything together. And that's part of the wider program, which is why, so I think last night the U.S. completed wave number 6 of these strikes on Iran and its military assets. And let's also not forget that as well as as the army that they developed through the over the years and the capabilities that they had, they also developed the IRGC capabilities. So we're talking about an extensive man force, which is also part of the equation.
Right. Absolutely remarkable. Let's turn our focus to Hamas and what is happening there, because with all of our attention drawn to Iran, we often forget that there is still a bit of a problem, a lot of a problem happening in the Gaza region and with Hamas itself. What do we know of the status of Hamas?
Unfortunately, Hamas is and Iran, it's not a different subject. It's a continuation of the same subject, just on a different front. They are very much involved in promoting the ideology and the policies of Iran, and that's something which we're seeing playing out. We're seeing them developing their capabilities and constantly trying to re-establish their somewhat limited control in the Gaza Strip. But we saw even this week, even the UN amazingly criticized Hamas for stealing some of the aid. That, I think, is indicative of the level of their control on the one hand, but also on the level of their desperation on the other. Hamas is a growing force in Gaza, and we're seeing, as we watch the pictures and we hear the news, obviously it's slanted in the international community. But when you look at the news in Israel and you see who the terrorists in Gaza, the Hamas terrorists in Gaza, who are being eliminated at the moment, you understand part of the picture. A few days ago, for example, one of the military commentators, Halele Biton Rosen, said that the IDF was working against an immediate threat that needed to be eliminated, but that he couldn't give any more details. And then you hear later on that one of the terrorists that was now eliminated is part of the shadow unit of Hamas that's responsible for holding hostages. And so when you put all the different pictures of the puzzle together, you can sometimes see a much broader picture. And unfortunately, that's where we are with Hamas. They are doing everything they can to remain relevant. They ostensibly gave up on their Hamas government in Gaza last week, which is really more of a show than anything substantive.
I was wondering about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now they see the different forces, Kosovo, Morocco, Kazakhstan, joining the International Stabilization Force, and that, whilst it's moving slowly, it's moving forward. And I think Hamas is seeing that potential end is coming, and it's drawing closer, and they are just getting more and more desperate.
Absolutely fascinating. Before I let you go, I just want to ask you about this bill to dissolve Knesset. So where are we with that in terms of the process?
Well, so what happens is elections in Israel are meant to happen every 4 years, right? That's the requirement of the law. And unfortunately, what we've had in Israel for the last 78 years is almost no government has managed to survive and to live out its days in full. And so there's always been this process of coming up with a bill for the dissolution of the Knesset, and then trying to work out an agreed date between the opposition and the coalition, each one with their own influences. And so really now we see the bill moving forward. It's the final announcement of the Knesset that they are now dispersing and we're going to elections. As we know, I think elections were set on the 27th of October. And so now the Knesset is ready to disperse, and we won't see any more of those or at least to a great extent, the discussions in the Knesset. There is still a possibility of holding
it's terrible that comes as a bit of a relief.
It's certainly a leaf for most Israelis.
That is where we do need to leave it. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, bringing us the Israel report this morning, giving us perspective of the week that was, and trying to help us navigate this very, very complex area. It is 8 o'clock.
That Israel report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.